This is Michelle Nasurjan for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, and my guest today is Mr. Steve Longo, Executive Director of the Albany Public Housing Authority. Welcome, Mr. Longo.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle, for having me.
So, Mr. Longo, you manage and direct a large portfolio of public housing and Section 8 voucher landlords. Talk about how COVID-19 has directly impacted the tenants and residents of public housing in Section 8 here in Albany. Specifically, how many families have reported a loss of income, and how do the caseworkers work with the families struggling to pay their rent?
Okay, so what's going on here is that public housing residents and Section 8 residents, there's roughly about 2,400 of each, they can call their caseworker or contact them online as soon as they hear that they've had a loss of income. Now, they can do that anytime. But of course, we know now with COVID and so many furloughs and layoffs and small businesses closing that it's happening more frequently. So we're geared up to be able to handle the volume. So if you live in public housing, you contact your caseworker, who you already have presumably a relationship with, because you have to go through an annual recertification process, and you tell them right away, I lost my income, or I lost some of my income. So that triggers the caseworker to get going right away to get the income, the rent adjusted. So in the HUD program, you can go down to what is called the HUD minimum rent, which is $50. And then you could say, well, wait a minute, I've got no savings, I've got no income, I haven't got my unemployment yet, I can't pay $50. And so then you can request something called a hardship rent, which you're eligible for 3 months, which is zero. And then you can work with your caseworker to get the zero or the $50 rent in place, and then we can help provide you technical assistance to get any unemployment benefits that you're able to. Once those unemployment benefits kick in, if you're eligible, then the rent would be 30% of the unemployment. And one thing that folks should take notice of is that CARES Act 3 money, the $1,200 or the $2,400 for families and the $600 on top of the unemployment, none of that is allowed to be counted towards your rent. So you don't have to worry about that.
Talk about how the CARES funding has helped cover some of that rent loss. You mentioned you're getting some additional funds for the next couple of months.
In the CARES Act, Congress appropriated 2 months of average public housing subsidy to cover CARES COVID-related expenses. So in our case, it's about $940,000, and we have to make that last to 12/31, according to the legislation. In Section 8, we get money to pay the HAP, which is our share of the rent or the housing assistance payment, and we get admin money. In the CARES Act, we got 2 months of admin money, which is approximately $440,000. And we got that to cover the additional expenses it costs to implement the program through 12/31. We're also getting additional money on an as-needed basis to pay the increase in rent to the private landlords due to the loss of income by their tenants that are on Section 8. I hope that helps, but I do know it's confusing.
You also mentioned previously that you had 1,463 emergency work orders completed since March 11th. Or since March 11th, and 1,163 backlog work orders to be addressed when you open up. How do you see handling getting a catch up with those backlogs? Because I'm sure people are, you know, trying to make it through. Like, you gave me some stories there. That was pretty good about the refrigerator. And then what are your plans for reopening and getting the staff, you know, back into the office and the maintenance folks?
Well, I like to think that we are a lean, mean organization that operates much like a private sector, but sometimes we slog along because we have to deal with all of the different regulations. So it's taken us a little bit of time, but we're really proud of the way that we've converted our whole operation to comply with social distancing and reducing folks' time in the office. So what we've done there, let's quickly cover that. So all of our offices are closed, and including the big atrium and the public housing headquarters here at 200 South Borough. And so all of the interaction that is being done with everybody on public housing in Section 8, they're calling their caseworker, they're emailing their caseworker, they're texting their caseworker. And then many people have the ability to take a picture of their pay stubs or the other things and send it to us on their phones. But for those that can't, our maintenance guys put mail slots in all our buildings, and they can drop off their paperwork. And then all of our caseworkers are working remotely from home. They've been given laptops and headphone sets that are tied into our voice over internet phone system. So the caseworker sitting at a laptop from their home, the tenant or the Section 8 voucher holder, it's just business as usual. They can't tell where they're calling from. And if they need to drop off the paperwork, caseworkers are taking turns day by day and coming in and getting that paperwork and scanning it to the different caseworkers. So all that's happening. You can pay your rent online. You can pay your rent. Everybody gets a rent coupon and a self-addressed envelope. So there's multiple ways in this environment to pay your rent. And so all that has been done. And at this point in time, our maintenance folks, they're only the people that work in folks in the apartments. We're only having 50% of those maintenance laborers come in at a time. And they're taking turns, so it's not always the same person. And they're only doing emergency work orders. Like, for instance, no heat, no hot water. The kitchen sink or the bathroom sink is plugged. And that could be very unsanitary and viewed as an emergency, as same as a toilet or a refrigerator not functioning. So we have completed, since we started this on March 17th, 1,463 of those emergency work orders. And we have almost 1,200 backlog work orders that we're going to have to do when we get in. And you know, it's not one size fits all. So sometimes, you know, the operator if you're reporting your work order online, you know, like one thing would be we had a work order for a broken handle on a refrigerator. So that got classified as a regular non-emergency. And then we got a call from, you know, an ombudsman or somebody out there advocating for elderly and generally folks that need it, to say we had a resident in one of our elderly high rises who was not able to take their meal delivery because they couldn't refrigerate it because they couldn't get into the refrigerator. So immediately we had to get over there, and we didn't understand from the work order that the broken handle prevented him from getting into the refrigerator. So,
okay, I'm really sorry. I have to kind of wrap up. So I just have one quick question. How do you see down the road what's going to happen with public housing?
Well, I think that, you know, we were very, very fortunate to get into CARES 3 and to get the money that you and I spoke of. I do think that the money has to be expended by 12/31. I do think that that is easily doable. And I think that as long as, you know, we get to back to some level of normalcy by then, we should be fine. But if not, we're going to need additional funding. And we've been talking to our legislators about that.
Okay. And I apologize, but I'm going to have to end this program. And I thank you, Mr. Longo, for spending your time with me today.
My pleasure, Michelle, and thank you to all your listeners.
And this is Michelle Masurgeon for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.